Chapter 2. Killing at Maximum Range and Long Range. Never a Need for Repentance or Regret. Quote, "To fight from a distance is instinctive in man. From the first day he has worked to this end, and he continues to do so." Ardent Dupique, Battle Studies. Maximum Range. They can pretend they are not killing human beings. Our examination of the killing process at different points along the distance spectrum begins at maximum range. For our purpose, maximum range is defined as a range at which the killer is unable to perceive his individual victims without using some form of mechanical assistance, binoculars, radar, periscope, or remote TV camera. Gray states the matter clearly. Many a pilot or artilleryman who has destroyed untold numbers of terrified noncombatants has never felt any need for repentance or regret. And Dyer echoes and reinforces Gray when he notes that there has never been any difficulty in getting artillerymen, bomber crews, or naval personnel to kill. Partly it is the same pressure that keeps machine gun crews firing. They are being observed by their fellows. But even more important is the intervention of distance and machinery between them and the enemy. They can pretend they are not killing human beings. On the whole, however, distance is a sufficient buffer. Gunners fire at grid references they cannot see. Submarine crews fire torpedoes at ships and not somehow at the people in the ships. Pilots launch their missiles at targets. Dyer covers most of the maximum range types of killing here. Artillery crews, bomber crews, naval gunners, and missile crews at sea and on the ground are all protected by the same powerful combination of group absolution, mechanical distance, and most pertinent to our current discussion, physical distance. In years of research and reading on the subject of killing in combat, I have not found one single instance of individuals who have refused to kill the enemy under these circumstances. Nor have I found a single instance of psychiatric trauma associated with this type of killing. Even in the case of the individuals who dropped atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, contrary to popular myth, there are no indications of psychological problems. Historical accounts indicate that the pilot of the aircraft that made the weather reconnaissance for the Enola Gay had a series of disciplinary and criminal problems before the bombing, and it was his continued problems after leaving the service that formed the sole basis of the popular myth of suicide and mental problems among these crews. Long range. Not eyeball to eyeball with the sweat and emotions of combat. Long range is defined here as the range at which the average soldier may be able to see the enemy, but is unable to kill him without some form of special weaponry, sniper weapons, anti-aircraft missiles, or tank fire. Holmes tells of a World War I Australian sniper recalling how, after shooting a German observer, "a queer thrill shot through me. It was a different feeling to that which I had when I shot my first kangaroo when I was a boy. For an instant, I felt sick and faint, but the feeling soon passed." Here we begin to see some disturbance at the act of killing. But snipers doctrinally operate as teams, and like maximum range killers, they are protected by the same potent combination of group absolution, mechanical distance, the rifle scope, and physical distance. Their observations and the accounts of their kills are strangely depersonalized and different from those that we will see at closer ranges. At 2109 on February 3rd, 1969, five Viet Cong moved from the wood line to the edge of the rice paddy, and the first Viet Cong in the group was taken under fire, resulting in one Viet Cong killed. Immediately, the other Viet Cong formed a huddle around the fallen body, apparently not quite sure of what had taken place. Sergeant Waldron continued engaging the Viet Cong one by one until a total of all five Viet Cong were killed. Even given the buffer of the tremendous distance at which snipers work, some snipers can rationalize their actions by killing only enemy leaders. One Marine sniper told D.J. Truby, "You don't like to hit ordinary troops, because they're usually scared draftees or worse. The guys to shoot are big brass." And just as a remarkably small percentage of World War II fighter pilots were capable of doing the majority of the air-to-air killing, so too have a few carefully selected and trained snipers made a tremendous and disproportionate contribution to their nation's war effort by remorselessly and mercilessly killing large numbers of the enemy. From January 7th to July 24th, 1969, U.S. snipers in Vietnam accounted for 1,245 confirmed kills, with an average of 1.39 bullets expended per kill. Compare this with the average 50,000 rounds of ammunition required for every enemy soldier killed in Vietnam. In the course of calculating confirmed sniper kills, no enemy was counted as a kill unless an American soldier actually was able to physically place his foot on the body. For all its effectiveness, there is a strange revulsion and resistance towards this very personal one-on-one killing by snipers. Peter Staff, in his book on snipers, notes that after every war, the United States military rushes to distance itself from its snipers. The same men called upon to perform impossible missions during combat quickly find themselves to be peacetime pariahs. World War I, World War II, Korea, it was the same. World War II-era fighter pilots firing their battery of heavy machine guns at the enemy would probably fit into the long-range category, but they are hampered by a lack of group absolution and their powerful identification with an enemy who is so remarkably similar to them. Colonel Barry Bridger of the U.S. Air Force described to Dyer the difference between air combat, long range, and ground battle, medium and close range. I would draw one distinction between being a combat aviator and being someone who is fighting the enemy face to face on the ground. In the air environment, it's very clinical, very clean, and it's not so personalized. You see an aircraft. You see a target on the ground. You're not eyeball to eyeball with the sweat and the emotions of combat. And so it doesn't become so emotional for you and so personalized. And I think it is easier to do in that sense. You're not so affected. Yet even with this advantage, only 1% of U.S. fighter pilots accounted for nearly 40% of enemy pilots shot down in World War II. The majority apparently did not shoot anyone down or even tried to.